Hello, and welcome back to Millennial 2021. I'm now here with Eunice and Tina from Monokulturi FM. Now, have I mispronounced it? Is that how it's said?
Monokulturi.
Monokulturi.
Okay.
Mono is the opposite of stereo or multicultural. So you...
It's like monoculture.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. You've been on Millennial several times before, of course, but... you weren't on last year, so would you like to introduce yourselves and Monokulturi FM to people just so that they know?
Yeah, so I started as a blogger in 2008 or 2010 or something like that, and in 2015 we started live streaming the situation at the border, the Finnish-Swedish border.
I should have said you're in Finland, just so that people know.
Yeah, we come from the land of ice and snow. It's very cold. Now it's not so cold, but on the Independence Day it was very cold. It was minus 25. It was almost as cold as in Chicago when Jussie Smollett was attacked. So, yeah, we started live streaming in 2015, the situation at the Finnish-Swedish border. And in 2016, in March, we created this show called Monokulturi FM. And it has evolved in some ways. We have different shows on this. And it's actually, we are also a private company, so we can do what we want. So we do journalism, we do various things. The last thing we did was...
Politics.
Yeah, of course, we were in the city council for 4 years. We lost this summer, and now there's a regional election coming up, and we are trying to get in there to trigger the Libs. And so the last thing we did was to go in August, we went to Lithuania. And actually, the last time we met in person with you was in Vilnius. I have very fond memories of those nights in Vilnius with you and the other speakers at the Pirabudimas conference. So we went to Lithuania because there's this border crisis with the Belarusian country. And we made several interviews at those migrant camps. And Tina did a hell of a job there. And she got very interesting stuff there in August. And
yeah, we noticed that all of the mainstream media reporters were on Finnish media complaining that they are not allowed inside the migrant camps to interview them. So they shouted their questions through the fence to the migrants. And then I started to figure out how to get into the camps. And I realized that I need to contact the Interior Ministry of the country. And I sent them an email and sort of put it in between the lines that we are nationalists, that we are friendly, that we are not going to smear their officials, we are not going to smear their border guards, and asked for press clearance to get to the camps. And we got in 2 hours we got clearance to go to all camps besides one that was considered too dangerous, so it was closed from outsiders because there had been recent rioting in that camp. But during the same day, we managed to get 2 hours of interviews from the Linkmenis migrant camps, and they are just priceless stuff because it's so obvious how none of these people are actual refugees. Like, there's one guy who escaped working from Turkey. I asked him, why did he leave Turkey? Because Turkey is a safe country, and why did he come to Lithuania instead? And he started laughing that life is all work if you live in Turkey.
I think the funniest guy was the guy from Kuwait. Hello, I'm an asylum seeker from Kuwait. Okay, aren't you the fifth richest country in the world? Should we help you? Do you want money? And they all had lots of money there. I saw bills of $100 and so on. But before we got the authorization to this camp, we went and we were just driving around Lithuania, and we went to a forest. There was a very weird forest road, and we got lost, and there was a police car that stopped by, and they said, what are you doing here? And I said, yes, we are trying to look for the migrant camp. And they started laughing. They said, yeah, we are also going there. They are all the time fighting. So just follow us. And it was very epic because in Finland, this being a liberal country, we are used to the police being very aggressive towards us. But the Baltic states, we like the police there. Back to the blue line.
Are they still quite sane, those countries?
Yes, of course. When it comes to immigration, like with the COVID stuff, they have gone pretty crazy, especially Latvia. But when it comes to immigration, they are pretty sane countries that they don't want much of these people in, and they don't give them like that expansive welfare, so they are not that attractive countries to migrants. And I sort of like the mindset these people have in the Baltic countries or Eastern Europe, that being a nationalist and a conservative, it's not even an ideology over there. It's just the way people are. It's completely natural to them that they don't even talk about it like it's a political ideology. It's just the normal state of things in those countries.
However, you might remember Tomas Skorupskis, the organizer of Prabudimas. He was saying that these Vilnius guys, they are total libtards. Kaunas is the place to be. They have even organized an LGBT parade and so on. And it's true that when we were in Vilnius, I monitored the situation, and I saw some stickers on the gutter or the
lampposts.
Yeah, something. And there was this Telegram channel Atkirtis, which means in Lithuanian direction. And it turns out it's a far right Telegram channel, which posts in English and Lithuanian. And they said that, our Agnes, whatever her name is, the interior minister of Lithuania, she's a total libtard. She's building asylum centers in the countryside, and she's taking EU money, and we have to. And she's also putting these COVID restrictions very hard. You probably have seen things from Lithuania about COVID. It's the hardest thing there in Europe.
Yeah, I've heard various things about Lithuania. It seems that these countries they're being brought into line with the West, the Western Europe, and it's done by EU money. It's done by either giving them or denying them EU funding. So from their point of view, they have to do this stuff. But of course, the long term effects will be huge for them. You know, that's going to change their country forever. That there are now going to be thousands of refugees in their country forever.
Yeah, and they have in August they had in Latvia, not Lithuania. They received 4,000 migrants entered the country, and almost everybody got a negative asylum decision. But they cannot push them back to Belarus because Belarusian guys they have closed the border, so you cannot push them back. But the latest news I saw was that they are trying to use this EU money to bribe the migrants to go back. So they are giving 1,000 euros for them if they go back. It's a difficult situation, but on the other hand, these people, they don't want to stay in Lithuania. Their goal is to go to Germany. And so they travel through Lithuania through Poland, and their goal is Germany. But also, since the Eastern European guys, they have showed that they are strong on this, the smugglers have proposed other routes, and one route would be from Belarus to Finland. through Russia. And that would be very bad unless you're an accelerationist, because if those people get to the Finnish border, our Finnish border guards will carry their luggage and give them money, and they will be here forever. So that's it's very sad to see. And I love the Baltic countries because their attitude is so so much saner than our Nordic countries here.
Yeah, of course. From the point of view of from Britain, you know, the COVID has really dominated the news, dominated people's thoughts, and dominated the work of people like me for the last 2 years. It's really taken over from the migrant thing. And so it's easy for us to forget that the you know, migration, the refugees, that is all still going on. It's just that we don't hear about it, and so we're not talking about it. But it's all going on. I mean, would you say it's happening as much as it was in 2017, or is it less now, or more now, or the same?
I would say it's less because the COVID restrictions, like closing borders and having more border security, has also meant that less of these people can travel from one country to another, because now there is actual, there are actual border checks. So it's much more difficult to travel without papers than it was before all of this. And for example, here in Finland, when the COVID thing started, the amount of asylum seekers, it dropped significantly because they just can't get to here, because we are at the very back of Europe. You have to cross like 12 countries to get here. And if even just one of those countries has strict rules for entering the country, they cannot get in. So it has slowed down the traffic. But of course, whenever these border restrictions are lifted, it'll probably just escalate to be much worse than it was in 2017 or 2016, because now there are a lot of these people who are aiming to get to Europe, who might be like loitering in Turkey or Libya or these other countries that are sort of like in between countries, that they are not their origin countries, but they are also not the countries that they are aiming for. So they are just like waiting for the opportunity to get to the EU area.
Yeah, and government is left green, literally left green. Social Democrat Sanna Marin, you've seen her on Vogue magazine and those places. And so she's the prime minister.
Yeah, and she's like 36 or something.
Yeah, she's. Yeah. I think she's 85, like Tina. Born in 85, not 85. And the Ministry of the Interior is the Greens. They are holding that position. So it's they try to make people believe that the borders are closed. They said you cannot go to Sweden. But actually, the borders were never closed. We had flights from everywhere. And these migrants and the foreigners, these people, they are the people that have most of the cases. And they are if we talk about last year, but now this year, the least vaccinated people are migrants. So migrants. But
there was a thing in Germany last year at one point, I think in like June, July last year, Germany's borders were closed. And they said this, like, our borders are closed to tourists and whatever. Our borders are closed to everyone except refugees. And that was the explicit policy in Germany.
That's what also our Minister of the Interior said, that borders are closed, but you can still seek for asylum. So that's also the same narrative here. And they actually had a lockdown last year that you could not go to Helsinki from our town. There was a lockdown. The police were monitoring they close the borders, but inside the country, which is very, but that's what they do. Now there's, I don't know, this whole situation is very stupid, because we could have, if we, had we had some intelligent politicians, we could have escaped or escaped from globalism. We could have closed the borders totally. We could have used this pandemic or plandemic to close the borders and start bringing back the industry here and do these kind of things. But now we see that no, it's the same shit as it ever was, and nothing. It's very blackpilling to see how it's going, because 80%, more than 80% of the people in Finland are vaccinated, and still they say that we are keeping the us unvaccinated are keeping the vaccinated as hostage. And I love this expression. I always say that, yeah, I want to be the last unvaccinated, and I will stop this hostage situation if you comply to my demands. Like close the borders. That's what I've been saying.
I think I don't want to trivialize this, because obviously it is, you know, migration, the refugees, asylum seekers. It is still extremely serious. It's as serious as it ever was, if not with the numbers, then the implications. We're still talking about population replacement. We're still talking about the great replacement of Europeans in every one of their countries. But would you say that COVID has... How has COVID affected Finland? I mean, has it changed the culture in any way? Has it changed how people are, how they interact? Has it changed the politics?
Well, it depends if you are talking about people online or... There was a brief... Now we are back online.
I don't know what happened there. I think, yeah.
So it depends. It depends if people are online, the vaccinated will openly hate on you.
They seriously wish that the unvaccinated people would die, and they are completely willing to say it openly that they wish that everybody who is unvaccinated will die.
It's incredible, because 2 years ago there wasn't. There weren't these two groups, the vaccinated and the unvaccinated. That division did not exist.
And the very same people that said that we cannot check the borders, we cannot ask for passports, now they are asking for QR codes, and they want the politicians to. But this was a gay op from the beginning. At the start, they said no, this is not a. This is not a very serious thing. It's okay, but when it when the narrative changed, they said, "Oh, because they wanted people to think that it is serious." So the officials were saying that no, it's not. It's not a big deal, and now the people are demanding for these restrictions. And for example, bars or pubs, and you need to have a QR code to enter those. And these vaccinated people, they are bragging that I have my passport, I can enter these bars. I'm not interested in going to these places, and I don't the thing is that it doesn't work. The infection rate is worse than ever now in Finland, and yesterday we had 2,000 cases, which is more than last year. And so these people, they are retarded. They ask for more back. They want a third booster, and next thing you know, they will want a fourth booster, and it doesn't work. I understand that of course you should be careful when there's a new virus, but these people.
It's been 2 years now. I mean, we were careful at the start. I didn't go out much. I locked down and whatever. Everyone did at the start, but we have been careful, and we now know is obviously not a serious virus. It's obviously not a big serious killer or whatever. So none of this is necessary. It's all a massive overreaction.
Yeah, and it's funny how there are like two completely separate worlds. Like there is the world of like social media and the media. And if you only look at those, it seems as if the COVID stuff is a huge deal, that we are in the middle of some insane crisis and all the people are completely divided and against each other with the vaccination stuff and masks and all that. But if you look at how people actually live in real life, they live their lives completely normally. Nobody really cares about like social distancing or stuff like that anymore. If you cough in a grocery store, you don't get those scared reactions that you used to get. And that crisis mentality and that division and polarization between people, it only exists, seems to exist on social media. That people in real life, they don't behave like that. Like, for example, in my workplace, we were planning a Christmas party in a restaurant, but then we got new COVID restrictions. And the restaurants would have demanded the COVID passport from everyone. And we have several employees who are vaccinated and we have several who are unvaccinated. So not everybody would have been able to go. And everybody agreed that, okay, then we won't go to a restaurant. We will stay here at the workplace so that everybody can come. So it's not, in real life, it's not like vaccinated people fighting the unvaccinated. They are acting completely normally and they don't hate each other. But it's like this, on social media, it just seems so crazy.
Yeah, the internet brings out the worst in people. And I think you get these people who go on to Twitter and whatever, because they want to behave that way. You know, they want to hate. Which is ironic, isn't it, for you, like the three of us, to be saying this, because we would be called haters.
Yeah,
there we are.
They are the real racists. you know that. And and also in the political narrative, there's been a big switch because, of course, we have regular marches. For example, last week, we had the Independence Day march. We have some other protests in September, for example, and so on. So, you know, Tuukka Kuru, he's also part of Monokulttuuri FM, and he has a new political party. He has established a new party. He's like Mike Enoch in Finland. And but due to the COVID thing, there's been a new kind of people that have entered this scene or whatever you want to call it. You have some new age weird people that are against COVID, and it's okay. But it's the change has been very weird because the media is saying that these people are denialists; they don't believe in the thing, and there's very weird people entering the discussion, and so they use those to discredit us. And we, at the beginning, as you said, like you, we were very, just look at Flashback Friday episode 66 or 69 or something. We were with Henrik Palmgren. He was thinking that no, this is fake. He had the right take from the beginning. We were very careful about this. But
yeah, so was I. I didn't proclaim anything about it. Like, I kept an open mind for the first sort of 2 months, and then because I didn't want to end up looking stupid by saying the wrong thing early on.
Yeah. No, we went from the beginning. We went full on that. Yeah, close the borders. This is very dangerous. Lock down everybody and. go return to tradition and all these things, but now it's I don't know who believes in this shit, but.
But I think it's it has become a matter of ego for a lot of people, like that because from the beginning we took the stance that okay, let's see what happens, let's follow the data when we get more information and act accordingly, and we did that, and we found out that okay.
I think they're on Wi-Fi, so it might happen several times.
I'm not on Wi-Fi. We have an Ethernet connection.
Ah, right. Okay, it just dropped out there for about 10 seconds.
I saw also.
So Tina was speaking at the time.
Yeah. I was saying that there are a lot of these people who made it a matter of ego that they chose one position on this COVID thing, and they made it a huge deal that, okay, this is really serious and we need to follow this, everything that the politicians and officials say, or otherwise we are killing grandmas. And now that it's more evidence is coming in all the time, it's not that big of a deal. It's not that serious. It's difficult for these people to admit that because they are so invested in all of this that they have basically turned this into an identity. Like, they are these people who have masks on in their social media profile pictures. Like, okay, why would you wear a mask in your profile picture? It doesn't make any sense unless you are that unhealthy, like intellectually, that you have turned your COVID stance into your identity and you want to show it off with your profile picture. So I think these people are the main problem. These people who cannot let go of their wrong opinions on COVID because of ego.
I have my QR code tattooed here.
The thing, I think in Britain it's much more of a widespread thing that people believe in COVID still. I think it sounds like there's more skepticism about it in Finland, more people being sort of more relaxed about it. In Britain, especially in Scotland, when I went up to Scotland, there were so many people, like, still now are still very invested in it all. And, you know, every shop you go into, everyone's got the mask on. It's universal, and that was voluntary as well. That was before it was that they've now reintroduced the mandate. But at that time, a month ago, it was voluntary, and yet everyone was voluntarily doing it. It's a strange. It's still huge here.
In Finland, there's never been a mandate. I think it's voluntary, but when there's a recommendation, Finns will comply. Of course, but if you remember in January 2020, there were the videos from China. You saw people collapsing. You saw the videos from northern Italy, Lombardia, or someplace. And at that time, the officials were saying that it's not a big deal. And that's one very important thing, I think, because when actually we are always dissidents, when the officials were saying that no, it's okay, it doesn't spread to people, it spreads only to Chinese. Actually, that's what the Finnish CDC said. It doesn't spread to people. So you saw videos. Probably those. They didn't say that it's only Chinese, but that's my addition. But you saw videos.
But, it was in a situation when it had already spread in China, and it was public knowledge. And the Finnish officials were saying that no, it doesn't. It's not contagious to humans.
Yeah. Sorry. No, that's in January. We had the first case on January the 29th, and it was a Chinese female tourist to Lapland from Wuhan. And at that time in France, they had 3 dead, I think, and they had 100 cases. And at that time, our officials said, no, it's okay. And there was a mask. Funny thing about masks, they said, no, don't use masks because because the real reason was that they didn't have masks. And there was episodes where officials had to resign, and you had the Finnish government bought masks from known criminals. This is all true. And so, but the masks, I said that, hey, the Asians, they have always used masks. You look at Japan, you look at China, when they go into their subway, when they have the flu for due to politeness, they use the mask. So when they sneeze, it doesn't spread so much. So I said, yeah, masks are okay. I like masks. I would use masks. But this stupid thing that is going on now with the people that are wearing masks on their chin, in their ears or whatever. It's completely stupid. That's it. And of course, at that time, maybe the first variant, the variant zero, maybe it was very deadly because people made it, or maybe everything was fake. I don't know. But they said that people died. But maybe those people were their destiny was to die from this virus. But nowadays, and if you've seen Garepi, Jean-François Garepi's biology with Frodi, he explains that, yeah, viruses, their evolutional thing is that they become less deadly, but they want to spread more. So that's the thing. And for you, I suppose this is a no-brainer, but this is also what I think. I believe Garepi is right on this.
Yeah. That does seem to be the course of viruses, that they become, they weaken, they become more, less damaging to their host so that they can survive more. And those are the strains that end up surviving. The other ones die out with the host that they've killed off. Here in Britain and in America and Western Europe, it seems like there's this constant. You see, what politicians used to do in a crisis was try to calm the public down, but what we see now is that they're doing the opposite. They want you to be as scared and worried and stressed. It's another strange, sick aspect of all this.
It's an interesting psychological operation and experiment to see how these libtards actually work or how they think, and they expose themselves that they hate you, and that I think this is still very interesting to see how this is going, to see how the people are actually operating. Is a very interesting psychological operation. The mask starts, and or the anti-vaxxers, they have said that, yeah, this is Nazis, and this is like the Nazi. The Hitler had a mask mandate, no, it's the opposite. It's very interesting to see how it's going.
Oh, it's fascinating. It's been an amazing thing to observe, because people who you might have thought would be quite sensible and open-minded and relaxed have actually turned out to be paranoid. There's been a drive towards conformity and just doing what you're told. And there's also been this push to care about the collective, whereas in the past, in the recent past, like childhood, teens, 20s, most of our 30s, we were told to be individuals, but now there's this big thing about, no, your individuality, your freedom, it doesn't really matter. What matters is what you can do for the group and how you can protect the group. It's really weird. It's I wouldn't have expected this at all.
Neither. And yeah. It has been co-opted in the wrong way. So this group mentality has been manipulated to towards bad things. And the only sad part is that it has divided also our side. You have nationalists that are believing this nonsense. I've seen this, and that's the only thing that I find negative.
One thing I would say about this is, and I was going to bring this up with you, I was going to ask this, it's interesting how so many of us are anti-vax, and hardly, I mean, yeah, of course there are some high-profile people who have been pro-vax and have had the vaccine, and were up for the lockdowns, up for the state using authority to get something done. But most of us have, certainly from like May last year onwards, have been fiercely anti-lockdown, anti-vax, anti-COVID. And it's quite remarkable how, I think it's almost like we just are rebellious by nature. And that's why we opposed mass immigration, multiculturalism, LGBT, and it's why we're now opposing the COVID and the vaccine program.
Yeah, I've never been an anti-vaxxer. I have always taken the vaccines when I was in school.
Yeah, me too.
And all those things. And I thought that, yeah, these people that don't want to take vaccines, they are maybe paranoid and they think the government wants bad things. But with this, it's different. And also, this exposes that the general population is super retarded, because COVID, coronavirus, it's a family of viruses, and it's nothing new. And I've never taken a flu shot, because I know that it's a changing virus, so you will never have a vaccine for, you might have one for a specific variant, but not for all of them. So I've never taken those. But now I side with the anti-vaxxers.
Yeah, I completely agree. Like, I'm not against the vaccinations in general. Like, of course.
Oh no, and that's not like, what I didn't mean to imply that. Yeah, I mean,
of course, yeah. I understand. And they are now trying to like expand the definition of anti-vaxxer to be like what was it that they said in one source, that an anti-vaxxer is a person who opposes mandated vaccinations. So they're trying to expand it all the time, when in fact your average anti-vaxxer when it comes to COVID is a person who doesn't mind your like traditional vaccinations against like measles and stuff like that, because those vaccinations have a long history. We know how they work. We know what sort of effects they have. But they just don't want to be guinea pigs to some experimental vaccines that we don't know anything about, and that caused serious side effects in people. And second of all, it has already been shown that the companies producing them have lied about their effectiveness. So, okay, it's completely understandable that you don't want to take that sort of vaccinations, that you want any medication you take to be thoroughly like researched and proven to be completely safe for you before you take it. Like, but now it's like it's this very radical position and anti-scientific position to want your medications to be safe.
Yeah, and then but also anti-evidence, because now that the evidence is coming in of people having blood clots and heart attacks and strokes, people continue to believe in the vaccine and against the evidence.
So you need to trust the science. But the left used to be against big pharma. Now they are.
Well, this is the whole transformation of the left, isn't it? That they used to be anti big business. They used to be anti immigration, because that would reduce wages for the native workers. And now, yeah, they're up for big business. They're up for big pharma, and they're up for censorship. and they're up for forcing people to do things. It's really astounding how this turnaround.
Yeah, it's probably the same phenomenon that that happened in the U.S. That the Democrats, they created the KKK or something like that, and nowadays the Republicans say that Democrats are the real KKK or whatever. So the parties stay the same, but their ideology changes and the people change. There was a Danish study that people are more willing to change their ideology than to change their political
party affiliation.
Yeah, that's. I don't know if you saw that, but it's a very interesting.
No, I didn't. It's
there was this. Like the Greens in the 80s, the Greens, they were a cool party. Now they are the gayest of them all.
Well, I mean, in the 80s and 90s, the Green Party in Britain, yeah, I mean, it's the same as the Green Party everywhere else. They were sort of hippies. They were very free thinkers. They just wanted to leave people alone, but introduce, innovative new ideas to make the planet healthier and clean up the environment. But now they're the authoritarians. It's quite remarkable how that's happened. And then you've got the sort of middle of this more centrist liberal type who, again, 30 years ago just wanted to leave people alone. Now they are the NPC of today. They're the one who is living in fear of COVID and is looking forward to the next vaccine. And there really are people like that.
Yeah, and it's funny, especially how, like, all is forgiven now to Big Pharma. Like, these people who care about Africa are also willing to be, like, free spokespeople for Pfizer, who couldn't get through the red tape to get permits for their meningitis drug tests in Europe or America. So they went to Africa and they used their experimental meningitis drug on Nigerian children. And it caused a lot of children to die. Many became permanently injured because of that faulty drug that they were giving them. They abused the ignorance of the local population. So they claimed that they got verbal permission from the parents to use the drugs when the African parents, they just took their kids to the hospital and they didn't understand what they were asked about. They thought that the kids would get the right treatment. In the end, Pfizer had to pay like tens of millions to these Nigerian parents and families damages for these drug trials. Also, for decades, they sold a depression drug that they knew is not an effective antidepressant. It is no more effective than a placebo, but it causes serious side effects in people. And of course, that's not a small deal. Like, if you give the wrong medication to a seriously depressed person, it can lead to suicide, it can lead to homicide, it can lead to pretty much anything. So funny how these people who claim that they care about Africa and they claim that they care about the mental health are also right now advertising Pfizer and completely ignoring all of these insanely unethical things these companies have done.
Also, an interesting piece of information for the people outside of Finland. Sanna Marin, the prime minister, the woman on the Time magazine front page, when Finland had the swine flu, she was an anti-vaxxer. She was saying that, this is bullshit. I don't know what year that was, but Sanna Marin was against vaccinations.
Maybe it was 2008, I'm not sure.
Yeah. So, but now she's running the country, so she has to make deals with Pfizer.
This is the thing that's so amazing. The corruption, obviously, it's so obvious that Pfizer and these other, like Moderna, AstraZeneca, obviously have tremendous financial power, and they have obviously used that to get this thing to happen so that they can make massive, like gigantic profits. It's so obvious. I mean, of course, the CEO of Pfizer is going to say that you need his product for the next, well, indefinitely, multiple times a year, every citizen of each country. That's a tremendous deal for him and his and for his company. So, of course, he's going to. I mean, it's astonishing that people could think, no, he's saying this out of kindness. He's saying he cares about humanity.
Last year, their profit was, I think, 33 billion euros or something like that. And that's the problem of democracy, because people vote, and the people they voted in might change during the process. So democracy is, I used to love democracy, but I think it's okay. It doesn't work. It's no.
Yeah, it's funny that,
and even Switzerland, with the direct democracy, they voted for the COVID pass 2-3 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Sorry, go on.
Yeah. So what I was saying is that when the news broke about the Omicron variant, it was funny how the Moderna CEO just rushed in to say that the vaccinations don't work against it. So, of course, that's what he needs to say, because if he said that, yeah, they work just fine, just keep using what we have already sold you, he wouldn't sell any more products. But if he says that, okay, the products we previously sold you are shit for this, so but we will make new products, so buy them. And in what other business could you do that? That you sell a product to the people, they buy it, it doesn't work, and then you say, of course it doesn't work, but we'll make a new shitty product, and the people would still keep buying. They are the only business in which you can do that, and it actually works.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know whether the vaccine has ever worked against COVID, the original version. I'm not sure. It's kind of difficult to know, because the herd immunity would set in by the time the vaccine was on sale. But whatever. Either way, they must have been able to, they should have predicted, and I'm sure they did predict a year ago, that, okay, if we vaccinate everyone against this, the virus is going to mutate. And so next year they're going to need a new vaccine. The corporations, Big Pharma, must have known that in advance. So when they were saying, just two shots of this vaccine and it will all be over. But they must have known that they were lying, surely.
There's also one feature. In my days, they didn't talk about competing companies with vaccines. Is this the first time that you can choose which product you buy, or am I wrong?
I don't know. I think it probably was something that in the past would have been done by one corporation. I remember being a bit surprised when I first heard that actually there are multiple corporations all working on multiple vaccines. So it's not just like they're not even collaborating on one vaccine together. They're all making their own one. I guess it actually does make sense, because you're going to end up with a variety of vaccines in one. They'll find out which one is most effective and all that. But even that hasn't actually happened, has it? that's what you would expect to happen, but actually it hasn't happened, that the governments are still pushing all of the vaccines.
Yeah.
No,
how the vaccine crazy people, like the maniacs who decorate their Christmas trees with vaccination bottles and post photos of those trees online, they have made it into an identity, that what sort of vaccination they have. And some people have even like tattooed on their arm, like what vaccine they had. And there's this really cringy video of, I think it's Snoop Dogg's concert in which he shouted in the microphone, like, let's hear it from the Pfizer people, let's hear it from the Moderna people. And
it's, yeah, oh, it's, my God, it's the Kaiser Chiefs, also known as the Pfizer Chiefs. But yeah, that was them. And he said, let's hear it for the Pfizer vaccine. AstraZeneca, Moderna. Yeah. I mean, it was really very strange and sinister.
But there was one company that was banned from the Nordic countries. I can't remember which one it was.
I think Moderna was, actually.
No, Moderna is still in here. It was banned from Iceland only. But AstraZeneca, I think they don't use it anymore in Finland. This time that they had bought a lot of it. And then they found out that it causes these blood clots. But they made this reasoning that, it only causes these blood clots if you are under 60 years old. So they kept giving it to over 60-year-old people, like to the elderly, and they gave them no choice. Like, they had to take the AstraZeneca vaccine or nothing. So they weren't given a choice. And even our own officials later said that, okay, it was illegal to do it. Like, it's illegal to give it to the elderly, the shitty vaccination that causes blood clotting, and give them no other option, and knowingly giving the elderly a dangerous medication.
Again, this has been another aspect of COVID that has been amazing. The lack of concern for the elderly, for anyone. No doctors seem to care about the possible side effects of the vaccine. There's no concern given to that at all. It's just everyone's got to get the vaccine, and there are very, very, very few medical exemptions, basically, and we don't care what it does to you. You're getting it whether you like it or not.
Also, one funny thing is that gatherings were banned last year, but BLM was okay because racism is a worse pandemic than this virus. And we, in our hometown, we had a BLM meeting, and it happened in the city council area. And I was in the city council at that time, and after the protest, at the first city meeting, I asked the health guy why did you organize this BLM thing here? And he said, I was not aware. Well, it was the front page in our local newspaper, so how did you know this? And they were, funny to just own the lips.
Yeah, yeah. The BLM stuff last year was incredible because it's such an obvious contradiction. Either large gatherings of people are dangerous or not, and so it's completely political. But because of the media, they get away with doing this. Like, the government get away with this kind of corruption, this obvious lying.
Yeah, and of course, I'm not against sane restrictions. That, okay, gatherings, don't do them now. Okay, I can handle that, and I can understand that. That, okay, don't do big gatherings. But the problem is that it's always our side's gatherings that are banned. So okay.
And some of the restrictions are so obviously absurd that it's impossible to take them seriously. Like, when we were coming home from the Independence Day celebrations in Helsinki, we were on the train, and we heard this announcement on the train that if you go to the restaurant cart to buy something, you need to show your COVID passport at the register. So throughout the train, you can mingle with people all you want. There's no mask mandate or anything. You can go to the restaurant cart. You can sit there with all of the people and mingle. But if you buy something, then you need to show your COVID passport. So
yeah,
just no logic in any of this. So I think that's also one reason why Finns have so quickly sort of become more reasonable with the COVID stuff, that they notice that, okay, this doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, because the logic is that the politicians have tied the COVID pass to alcohol serving. So if your place sells alcohol, you have to ask the COVID pass. So the restaurant cart in the train, they sell beer, so you have to ask the passport. And it's the same in restaurants, in bars, and those places. But if you go to a Burger King, they don't sell alcohol, you don't need a COVID pass. So that's the so-called logic behind this.
I see, but it doesn't make any sense. I mean,
No.
I mean,
you can go to supermarkets without this thing, and it's okay.
Well, unless you can buy Germany beer. Or Austria.
yeah, and other countries, and yeah, it's well, that's, but yeah, the anti-vax side says that yeah, these are Nazis and these are fascists. But are they? No, I don't think. Totalitarianism. It's not Nazi.
NPC totalitarianism.
Were they were not this bad.
Yeah,
and it has really escalated quickly that in a way it has all become normalized to us too, who are sort of woke to all of this. But there are these small moments when I remember how quickly things became weird. Like when we were talking about the Omicron variant, and Younes asked, like, shouldn't it be like a gamma variant or something? And I then explained that they have already had those, but they were more like local stuff, like that they had gamma and lambda, and that I think Kappa was the one that they used to justify it beating people up in the streets of Australia. And then I sort of had this moment that, yeah, this really escalated quickly, that 2 years ago it was about like 2 weeks or 3 months to flatten the curve and save the grandmas, and now it's like beating police officers, beating up people who are having a picnic in the park.
Yeah, the ancient Greeks predicted all the variants.
It really has. I mean, it's coming up for 2 years at this point. It's what, a year and 9 months now since we went into lockdown in Britain. It's March 2020. What would you predict for the future in Finland with COVID and all of that? Do you think it's on the way out?
Well, it can go either way. So either this shit stays, or the politicians will say, okay, now it's okay, over. I don't know. It's very difficult to...
Yes, it can really go either way. But I think that the pressure from the economy side of things will become too much to handle at one point or another, and then they will sort of have to find a way out of this before the economy collapses, before there's so much unemployment that the system cannot handle it anymore. So I think they will have to find a way out of it, and I think the Omicron variant might be the first perfect excuse, because I have noticed that in the US they are already sort of paving the way for the Omicron to be the way out of this. Like Joe Biden came out saying that, okay, of course this is sort of worrying, but there's no cause for panic. And then Anthony Fauci came out saying that, yes, this Omicron might be just the thing that we have been hoping for, that this virus that spread really easily and leaves people with immunity but doesn't kill a lot of people. So I think right now in South Africa, where this Omicron thing started, it's already going away. Like it spreads so quickly that it also ends up going away quickly.
And also
so I think that it might be, if we are lucky, that the Omicron thing might be the way that the politicians will use to get out of this.
Also, in the US, they have lost cases in the Supreme Court, like the health worker mandate. And also in Europe, if you look at the, I saw an article in the Brussels Journal where in Belgium, the court said that these measures are not okay. And in Spain, I think also they lost a thing. So yeah, the courts sometimes are on the same side. So the politicians at least have to act like they respect these decisions. So it's it might be localized that, or become localized that, yeah, the cities that want to go on with this, they will go on, and the rest of the country will get over this. Maybe. And I have my awakening shirt, and Tuukka is organizing this conference, which was canceled last year, and maybe this spring he will be able to organize it. And it's difficult. The problem is that when you are working with different people from various countries that have to enter your country, it's very difficult to organize this. And this is one, of course, negative side about this.
Oh yeah, the conference stuff has just stopped over the last 2 years. It's just not happened. That's one of the effects on us, you know, on our movement. That it's just gone into it's gone on pause in that way.
But the Lithuanian conference where you also were,
that was the last one
in before the lock. Literally, yeah. When we came back to Finland, this thing started.
Yeah, I think it was the middle of February.
Yeah, 24th was the Etnofuturi in Tallinn, and the 15th was in Vilnius.
Yeah, I was there at Vilnius, and I didn't go to the, I can't remember why I didn't go to the Tallinn one, but anyway, I didn't. I'm glad.
Tallinn conference created a funny thing because we had Toni Jalonen, who said on our stream in the conference that I am a fascist. So the mainstream media here stole our content, and they said, look at this guy, and they used it against the anti-immigration party. Look at he says he's a fascist. So they are the real fascists.
Right.
It was funny.
Well, I mean, I don't really know what, you know, how can they object to the word fascist at this point, given what they have approved of with COVID? They're mandating vaccines, they're locking people up, they're demonizing sectors of the population, mass media control, propaganda. I don't really know how it differs from what they would say, but I guess they would say fascism is racist. So that's the distinction.
Yeah,
and it was really funny that in the Finnish media they made this huge deal about this. The Finnish young Finnish speaker in this conference says that he's a fascist, and all the Finnish leftists were like, oh my god, we need to inform like the Estonian officials and the government about this, what is happening there. And yeah, the Estonian government, they were there, like the interior minister of the country was there in the conference with us.
Jack Madison and Mart Helme and all these guys.
Yeah, and like the minister Martin Helme, he was in the conference, one of the guests.
Of course, this is probably not real fascism, but using the Liptard definition of fascism, this is fascism. So they are the real fascists. But they're so retarded that they don't understand this.
Yeah, I think one thing that's been revealed over the last 2 years is that liberals, so-called leftists and whatever, are perfectly happy with authority when it's doing what they want. They're perfectly happy to see people oppressed. Yeah. They're perfectly happy with the heavy censorship, people losing their livelihoods because of their opinions. They're perfectly happy with all the stuff that they've moaned about with fascism. So, you know, I find it difficult to take them seriously at this point. Okay, there are some questions that have come in for you. Somebody says to me, Teddy says, Millennial has been fantastic so far, Wolves. Thank you very much. I just finished my finals, so I can catch the streams live now. also picked up my T-shirt. That's great. He's referring to the official Millennial 2021 T-shirt, which you can get just now. I'll paste the link in into the chat in a moment. Okay, now, right, let me see. I seem to this is Winter Phoenix Forest Kirin. I seem to recall some of Tolkien's writings mentioned wizards from Lapland, which I believe is in Finland. It's partly in Finland, isn't it? Does it not overlap?
Yeah, it spreads out through Norway, Sweden, Finland.
Yeah. Have you ever witnessed any cool rituals or practices up there? I think he's referring to, you know, wizards and witchcraft and so on.
Well, I think it has mostly died out that they have these like shows for tourists and stuff like that, but it's like this fake stuff, like a sort of like theater for the tourists. But I don't think they really believe in that stuff anymore. But there are some small like natural pagan religions in Finland, like the People of the Bear, I think they call themselves, and it's like this old-fashioned pagan religion, but it's not that popular in Finland. That
the people,
pagan stuff.
The people in Lapland, they are considered in what's the word?
Indigenous.
They are like Indians.
Is that the Sami people?
Yeah, Sami. Yeah, and. It's become a meme because you have people from there that have moved to the cities, and they are like the woke activists here, and everybody laughs at them. But they are very ethno-nationalistic. They say you cannot become a Lapland guy. You have to be born. You have to have the genes, and we are okay with that. But they don't allow that to us. So they are very funny people. But yeah, no, I of course in Lapland there have been shamans and all that stuff, and they heard reindeers, and yeah, they're indigenous, but some have moved to the city, and you have to watch out for those.
Okay. I have an aunt, this is from Aaron Kasparov. I have an aunt in her 50s who had 10 people on her street, aged in their 50s to to 60s to 70s, die in the month of November. So 10 people on one street died in the month of November. I asked if they all got the vaccine. She said that they had. It's a libtard area. But she still believes that they died of COVID, not the vaccine. Many stories like this. Well, yeah.
Yes, it's strange how... uncritical a lot of people are to all of this, that if they are told to get the vaccine, they will just do it, and they will ask no questions. Like, I talked to this one woman who said that she was part of this RSV vaccination trial. It's like this virus that is dangerous to small children and the elderly, and that she was unable to take part in that vaccination trial, or it was postponed because she was so sick from the flu shot that she had received a few days earlier. And when I asked her what flu shot did she receive, she didn't even know. She didn't know what the vaccination was that was pushing her arm. So it amazes me that there are these people that are told that go get the flu shot, and they will go and they will give out their arm, and they won't even ask what is like injected in them. And even when they are sick from that vaccination, that they don't know what it was, they just went and took it. They are willing to go and take another one that they don't know anything about. So it's crazy how...
Oh, yeah.
It just shows that people are very simple.
I think people want to just be told what to do and what to believe. And if their government tell them, and if their government seem confident about something, then people will believe it. And
there was this.
And this woman, like, it was very clear that she had been lured into this RSV vaccination trial with the usual stuff that you will help save babies' lives if you take part in this vaccination trial. And I said to her that, yes, I know that they use this sort of language to appeal to your emotions and to get you to take part in these trials. But what you are really doing is that you are helping the big pharma to create a product that will bring them profit. That is the main thing. And the results of that trial might not even be used in a way that is effective to save babies. That they might find out that the vaccination is worth shit, and they will still twist the data, and they will get the permit to sell the vaccination, and they will get it on the market and know that it's not going to save anyone's life, but because the it's not about saving lives. It's about making money.
Yeah, and I noticed yesterday I was browsing Twitter and Stonetoss Comics retweeted an interesting video from the 70s, the Ash Experiment.
I haven't heard of this.
Yeah, check it. It's from the 70s. You'll see how group psychology works. It's very interesting.
There's a film from the early 80s from Germany about a virus breaking out, and I think Computing Forever did a video about it.
Yeah, the Hamburg Krankheit, Syndrome. Yeah, we watched it because I think Prodi or Computing Forever recommended it. We watched it, and it was I liked it. It was it's from 79.
Right, 79. Yeah, it's interesting that I haven't watched it, but I watched that video about it. And there's a lot in just a lot of clips in there from the film, and I thought, God, they're saying the same stuff that we are saying now. Yeah. Like, towards the end of the film, they're saying, "Is there even a virus?" And you know, there are people 2 years later saying, "Was COVID ever real, or was it just the flu? Was it just that year's version of the flu?"
Was it Fassbinder, the movie maker? But be sure to check it. I watched it on BitChute. No.
All right, okay.
Of course, copyrights, but yeah. I don't believe in copyrights. It's okay. But yeah, I saw it there. We watched it, and it's a 70s movie, and it's an European artistic movie. But yeah, I liked it. It's it's very interesting. Be sure to check it. The Hamburg Krankheit, the Hamburg syndrome, or something like that. Very epic.
All right. Okay. And then somebody asks, what is your opinion on the Nordic resistance movement? Was the Finnish government justified in banning the party in Finland?
It was not a party, but no, they were not justified. It was fake. We covered the all the instances when it was in the lower court, when it was in the higher court, and when it was in the Supreme Court. We went it in Finnish, of course, but it was fake. It's completely fake. They used because it was not a party, it was an organization. And they said, in Finland, we have a law that if an organization doesn't doesn't have good manners, we can ban it. Okay, you can ban Antifa, you can ban every fucking lefty green bullshit organization. You can ban everything in Finland if you talk about good manners. And they used it. They said, yeah, there are some people that praise National Socialism. You have one guy that has caused death. Because there was in 2016, I think there was one drug addict that attacked one of the activists, and
it was an Antifa, wasn't it, who attacked them?
No,
not really an Antifa, a junkie doing stupid junkie stuff.
We found him on the Cops show in Finland. you know.
Right. Yeah.
So this guy was completely retarded. He was a random guy. He was not Antifa, but also he was anti-Semitic.
Oh. We found
on our show, Monoculture FM, we went through that, his Facebook posts. He was like this Daryl Brooks.
Right.
He said that, yeah.
Well, Jews have cold hearts. And
he said things about this group that maybe we should not. We can talk on about them our show, but maybe not here.
We're just quoting what this guy said.
One interesting thing about that trial in which they banned the Nordic resistance movement was that or Finnish resistance movement was that they claimed that it's a criminal organization, and as evidence they used criminal cases from members that had nothing to do with the organization, so like crimes that the single members had committed before they even joined the activism, or completely outside of the activism, that it had nothing to do with the organization. But then when you have an organization like Extinction Rebellion that has openly stated that breaking the law is their method, that that civil disobedience is their method, that they want to break the law and that they are not willing to comply to the law, and they are not they won't obey commands from the police. So they are openly stating that they are a criminal organization and crime is their method of action.
This,
and they are not banned. Nobody is suggesting in like a higher level of politics that they should be banned.
Extinction Rebellion is a pain in the ass. They are blocking traffic on a regular basis in Helsinki. Saturday they had a thing, and the cops, they are so lip-tarded that they do nothing against those. But yeah, the Nordic Resistance Movement, of course, in Sweden they are a party, and imagine, everybody knows Sweden is super cocked, but Finland is even more cocked because Sweden has never taken steps towards banning the Nordic Resistance Movement, but Finland did. So Sweden is more based than Finland, and I hate this situation, but I have to admit the facts that, yes, Sweden is more based. And Sweden, yes. They had Mike Enoch 2 weeks ago as a guest. When we were on the Independence Day, I listened to their stream, and they have a weird accent, but the interview was good. So, and you also have Mike Enoch. I have become a TRS fan. I love their show. And he's on the 29th on your show.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it's quite late on. Okay, there are two, someone says, doesn't Extinction Rebellion sound like a lame dinosaur movie? Yes, it does. And Bane of Crenshaw, he says, the left's attitude to vaccines seems very similar to their attitude to sex. I don't care where that vaccine or man, woman has been, put it in me now.
Yes. Give me AIDS now. I love AIDS. I love
okay, and then
well, they're okay. Aren't they all drunkies, so they shoot anything? Okay, give me a jab. Okay.
All right, okay, well, let's end it there. I think this has been a nice stream. It's quite lighthearted, even though we've been talking about very serious stuff. I mean, I don't want anyone to think that I think refugees, mass immigration and COVID are trivial topics. I don't at all. Sometimes you can see a funny side to it.
I think you need to have a sense of humor when talking about these things, because otherwise you will get blackpilled. You will blackpill your own audience, and if everyone is blackpilled, nobody has hope, and nobody then is willing to do anything about anything. Because if people get all depressed and they feel that there is nothing that they can do about the situation, they will become inactive. So, but if you keep it light so that people don't become completely black-pilled and you don't become completely black-pilled. You will have your own motivation to keep on doing what you do, and your audience will stay more optimistic about the situation.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And humor and sarcasm broke the Soviet Union. That's what they say.
Well, that's something to bear in mind. All right, then. Well, Tina and Eunice from Monokulturi FM. Yeah. Okay. All right. Thank you for appearing on Millennial 2021.
Thank you so much for inviting us. This was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was cool.
Okay. I'll speak to you later. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.
Millennial Woes has created many things, and this is your chance to own one of them. A unique piece of work handcrafted by the Vile Vlogger to commemorate Millennial 2021. 100 hours of highly skilled labor went into producing this animated vector graphic, which can be magnified to any size. In the iconic Millennial Woes font, it glistens and responds to your touch. And at the center of it all, a figure representative of 2021, the white stag, symbolizing endurance, discovery, and rejuvenation. This one-of-a-kind creation is up for sale as an NFT. Follow the link below, and it can be yours forever. This is your only chance.